You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg. The podcast.
Yes, it is Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Todd McShay in a half hour on the Goodyear Hotline. We're taking your Twitter questions for him. I'd like to do that entire interview based exclusively on tweets. Just use the hashtag Greeny, Greeny with a Y, with your questions for our draft insider extraordinaire, Todd McShay, and he will answer them in 30 minutes. Why are you laughing, Hembo?
I'm just laughing, imagining you like catching a screaming line drive from Manny Machado in Game 5 of the NLCS.
Well, I mean, I might not, but if it's hit right at me, I have some chance of catching it. It does bring up the question, in what sport could you best stash me and still win? Which is to say, like, if the 85 Bears defense had to play with me on the field the entire time. So Bubba, jump in on this, because you were mocking any chance whatsoever that I could contribute anything to a baseball team. The 85 Bears defense, which was so good, could they have played with 10 real players and me the entire season and still won the Super Bowl? Bubba, yes or no? What is it you are doing in there, by the way, that sometimes I ask you a question seem to be anywhere near us?
I'm trying to think it through.
What's happening?
He's always scrambling for his headphones. He's never ready.
All right, settle down, Vin.
We did rename him Vin. Go ahead, Bubba.
I'm trying to think.
No?
All right, where would you be? Would you be a cornerback, and then you just hope that?
In theory, you'd put me anywhere. I mean, you could just put me sort of like, I'd become like a rover. Yeah. I would just sort of hang out in the middle of the defensive secondary, and do nothing.
No,
I accomplish nothing.
It doesn't matter where you go. You can't play a man down, no matter how good the other players are. No one is going to win with Mike Greenberg on their team, sadly.
Okay.
No matter how good they are, the team is not going to win the championship playing essentially a man down.
I will figure out a way by the end of the show today, some way I could find a way to win. Greeny, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Green list in just a moment. It's about the greatest player of all time. But speaking of the greatest of all time, what Steph Curry doing right now, in my opinion, is magical. What he's doing right now is magical, and I will tell you why. Is he the MVP of the league right now? Yes. Is it because he means more to his team than anyone else? No. He means more to the league than anyone else. The NBA has never needed anything like it needs what Steph Curry is doing right now. Its most beloved player, who plays with a joy that is infectious, at a time that the sport needs it like I've never imagined it before. He's playing basically the best 10-game stretch ever. The mere fact that he's playing 10 games in a row is quite remarkable, but you said he actually missed one in there. I didn't even know, but whatever. In a season in which the league desperately needs something fun, thank goodness for him. And what it's made me realize is the joylessness of the sport right now. It's tragic. You know, we're about to talk about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was the most ruthless competitor. I mean, you saw it in Last Dance, and it didn't even need to be documented. You're aware of that. There is no greater competitor. He would cut your heart out of your chest on the basketball court, but he played with joy. Where's the joy? I know these are difficult, challenging times, but we can still have fun. This is a game. It's supposed to be fun. I feel like we've lost the fun in basketball. And if you were to start putting your finger on the biggest problem with all of it, it's that. And I didn't even realize it. It's like, what is that thing that when a refrigerator stops running, you didn't realize it was running until you realize it has stopped? Well, that's kind of what's going on. I didn't realize until I started watching the streak that Steph is on that the best part of it are not all the threes he's making. It's the smiles. It's the shimmy. It's the fun. He's having fun. This is supposed to be fun. And that, to me, is what makes him the MVP, because the league has never needed someone like him to do something like what he's doing any more than they need it right now. Steph or MVP? Speaking of MVPs,
The list is what determines who matters in this business.
The Green List.
Well, I remember where I was on this day in 1986, so that's 35 years ago. On April 20th, 1986, I was sitting in a dorm room, Bob McCulloch Hall at Northwestern University, watching Michael Jeffrey Jordan score 63 points in a playoff game against the Celtics, after which Larry Bird said, "That was God disguised as Michael Jordan." Now, the Bulls lost that game because they were enormously overmatched. And they would wind up getting swept in that series by a great Celtic team. The 86 Celtics are one of the greatest teams in the history of the sport. But that was the first glimpse of what was to come. And so today, in honor of the anniversary of Michael scoring 63, we have the five greatest postseason performances or moments from the greatest player of all time.
Number five.
There is a 7-second disparity between the shot clock and the game clock. Jordan, yes!
Marv on NBC, that is game four of the 1993 finals, Suns at Bulls, the showdown with Sir Charles. Charles Barkley in that game had 32 points, 12 boards, and 10 assists, but Michael Jordan scored 55 at the old Chicago Stadium to help the Bulls to a 3-1 series lead on their way to their first three-peat. I hadn't even thought of this until I look at it now. That would have been Michael's second-to-last game ever at the old stadium. They played one more. They were supposed to win it in five. They didn't. They had to go back and win it in game six. But I digress. The point is, number five on the list of Michael's greatest postseason moments, the 55 points he scored in that showdown with Barkley, 1993 Finals Game 4.
Number four.
With eight on the clock, Jordan ties the game. 63 points, and you're looking at an all-time record.
Oh, boy.
Michael Jordan.
At number four, this is the anniversary. That's where I put this. That courtesy there is CBS Sports. Michael scoring 63 points, adding in five boards, six assists, three steals, and two blocks. He averaged 44 points a game in that series. Again, they were swept, but you can't be better than Michael. That's number four on the list of his greatest postseason moments. That was the surest sign of what was to come.
Number three.
To cut through the baseline, Kukoc comes outside. Here's Michael, holds it on top. Pippen wants it, wants to go on Hornacek. Demanded the ball. Back Michael, open three. Yes, they lead it. 38 points for the Kings.
That's Brent Musburger with the call right here on ESPN Radio. That's the flu game. Michael Jordan, the legendary flu game. Do we have to rename it the pizza game? I'm not going down that road today. But that's game five of the 97 final against Utah, one of the most famous and iconic performances in the history of any sport, and certainly in the history of his. For anyone else, that would be number one, the flu game. It's one of the most famous of all time. Today, it is number three on the list.
Number two.
Sellers has Jordan. Jordan, with 2 seconds to go, puts it up and scores at the buzzer. Michael Jordan has won it for Chicago.
CBS Sports, that's the shot. And I will tell you right now, I'd like to hear the Bulls call of that, which is legendary, with Neil Funk and Johnny Kerr. That's the shot. That's Jordan over Elo. That's 89. That's game five in Cleveland. And that was really the beginning of the Bulls dynasty. They didn't win the championship for a couple more years, but the Bulls dynasty began that day because Cleveland was favored. They were home. They were supposed to win that. They were supposed to be better. And that was the day Michael Jordan served notice. I'm winning this damn thing and no one's stopping me. Michael Jordan, the shot. Over Elo, game 5, 89 is number two on today's green list of Michael Jordan's greatest postseason moments. But only one thing can be number one.
Number one.
Jordan, open. Chicago with the lead. Timeout, Utah. 5.2 seconds left. Michael Jordan running on fumes. With 45 points.
45 points, the final bucket he would score as a Chicago Bull. That's the last shot, 1998 NBA Finals, Game 6. Jordan letting the hand hang in the air as he hits that shot over Brian Russell, wins the Bulls' sixth championship on the road in Utah, and disappears into the sunset. Never to play for the Bulls again. What a list. My goodness, Michael Jordan's top five postseason moments. I have goosebumps. I can barely even go through this. You relive those moments. Again, if you were there, it's just kind of hard to put into words what it was. It was unlike anything has ever been. It was unlike anything is ever going to be. We're going to take your calls next. 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll do what's on your mind. I haven't heard from you all week. Let's get some calls in here with what you want to know, anything you want to get into here with me in the world of sports. If you can get past Bubba, you can get to us. 888-SAY-ESPN is the number. McShay is on the way as well. We'll get to the calls right after this word from HelloFresh. Get a true, real break with HelloFresh. They let you skip the grocery store, the crowds, the traffic, the hassle, without sacrificing delicious meals. These are whole restaurant-quality meals made with fresh, pre-portioned ingredients that you can prepare in as little as 20 minutes. They send all the ingredients right to your door, deliver them contact-free, more than 25 chef-created recipes. Do it now. Go to HelloFresh.com/Greeny12. Use the code Greeny12. You get 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's code Greeny12 at HelloFresh.com/Greeny12. On ESPN Radio. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/gift finder today. That's Macy's.com/gift finder.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Greeny, the podcast.
I am Greeny, and I'm coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase, presented by Progressive Insurance. Todd McShay will join me coming up shortly on the Goodyear Hotline, answering your draft questions. Before I come to the phones, I just thought of an unbelievable statistic. So did you see the Steelers extended Mike Tomlin's contract 3 years? That's because that's what they do. They hire really good people, and they leave them in place, and they ride out some of the down times, even though there have been very few with Tomlin, but they ride through the sort of tricky times because they have belief in the people they hire. And so as a consequence, here is the stat maybe of the millennium. If you want to go back, just three coaches for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you can trace their last three coaches back to 1969. Do you know how far back you can go to get three coaches for the New York Jets? 2018. The Jets are on their third coach in 4 years. Todd Bowles was their coach in 18, Adam Gase in 19 and 20, and now Robert Saleh. So in the last 4 years, the Jets have had as many coaches as the Pittsburgh Steelers have had since 1969. What do you say to that? Like, what do you say? Like, that's people who know what they're doing and people who have no idea what they're doing, right? There's no defending it. Yeah, we keep hiring people and firing them. Well, what does that say? It means we don't have any freaking idea how to hire people, doesn't it? That's just, let's not get me upset. I'm having a fun day. All right, let's come to the phones here. That's always fun. Before McShay joins us, 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll do What Do You Want to Know? Anything you want to get in here. If you can get past Bubba, you can get to us. Mr. Bubbs, who's our first caller?
First up is Eddie.
All right, Eddie, what do you want to know, my friend?
Hey, Greeny, I want to know, how do you compare what Steph Curry's doing right now to what James Harden did, I think, 2 years ago when he had the 32 games straight with 30 points and then was robbed of probably his third MVP in 4 years? And then I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, so it was a little fuzzy there, but what he said was, how do I compare what Curry is doing right now to what James Harden did a few years ago?
That he averaged 36 points.
Harden put up offensive numbers, the likes of which we basically haven't seen since Jordan and before that Chamberlain. So Harden's offensive explosion, playing, especially when he was playing for D'Antoni, it was such a perfect match of style and talent. That was more spectacular in the scheme of things. It lasted longer, and I think overall it was more points, right? Steph, I think, is averaging 33 or something during this stretch.
And Harden averaged 34 over a three-season span.
Three seasons. So I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying that came at a different time. What Steph is doing now is something that is so necessary. Like, it feels like the NBA desperately needs something to grab onto that feels fun. He's playing with joy. Where's the joy in the sport? That's what they're missing. I understand it's hard. I understand these are trying and unprecedented times. But Steph's having fun. I hope it becomes contagious. Bubba, who's next?
Next up is Greg.
All right, Greg, you're on ESPN Radio. What do you want to know?
Well, thanks for taking the call, Green. Hey, I'm a realistic Cowboys fan, and I understand the reality of us winning the Super Bowl is probably not good this year. But I'm looking for some hope, Green. I'm looking for who are the Cowboys going to pick this year, and that making sure that Jerry Jones isn't going to be Jerry Jones and do what he does in our football draft.
Greg, it's an excellent call. Thank you. Look, if you're a Cowboy fan and you think you're going to be bad this year, God bless you. You have a level of realism that most of your brethren do not. I keep hearing from Cowboy fans who think they're winning the Super Bowl this year. I'm not making that up. The Cowboys' defense stinks. Here's the problem they have. They pick at number 10. There isn't an obvious choice there. They will probably take one of the two corners who figure to be there. One of them is Patrick Surtain, the second from Alabama. The other one is J.C. Horn from South Carolina. Both of them had dads who played in the NFL, by the way. What I think they should do, if anyone wants to trade up there, is trade back. Because you can get an equally impactful defensive player the whole rest of the first round. You want a pass rusher or someone like that, you can't take them at 10. There are none that are good enough to do it. So if you can, now it's easy to say you want to trade back. You got to find someone who wants to come up there. But if the best thing that could happen to the Cowboys is that one of the quarterbacks falls to them, I don't expect it. Next would be that someone wants to come up and take Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle or one of the offensive tackles, and you can fall back a few spots and get the same caliber of defensive player and add picks. That's what I think the Cowboys should do. What I think they're likeliest to do is draft at 10 and take Patrick Surtain, the corner out of Alabama, and I can't complain. It's a good pick. I got time for one more, Bubba. Give me a name.
Let's go to Brady.
All right, Brady, you're on ESPN Radio. What do you want to know?
Hey, Greeny, I have two questions. The first is, do you think Kyle Pitts, there's any way he could fall to number 8 to the Panthers?
The answer to that one is no. What's the second question?
Even if the Falcons draft a quarterback, his Dolphins have Gesicki and the Lions have Hockenson.
Right. I don't think the Dolphins having Gesicki is going to keep them from taking Kyle Pitts. I think that the Dolphins would take him if he's there at 6 for sure. I believe when push comes to shove that Kyle Pitts is going to go off the board at 4. I think these quarterbacks are getting artificially pushed up and inflated. If I had to predict it right now, I predict Trey Lance is going to go 3. Kyle Pitts is going to go 4. At 5, everyone is saying that Cincinnati is going to take Ja'Marr Chase from LSU because that's what Joe Burrow wants, his old teammate, instead of taking the tackle. Now, all of a sudden, it's the tackles that are starting to fall. Miami, at that point, Miami could trade back to someone who wants to get a quarterback if they wanted to do that. They could take Devontae Smith They could do something along those lines, and now we have ourselves a scenario that has not been in a lot of the mocks. But that's what I expect. I do not expect this to go the way a lot of the mocks have gone. I remain, again, the one person who thinks Trey Lance is going to go number three, and I think Kyle Pitts will go number four. Great calls. Thank you, everybody, as always, for calling. McShay is next. We're going deep into this draft right after this on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast.
Hi, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio. And it has been a very long time since I've done anything like this. Back on the old show, we used to do it all the time. We used to solicit your questions for our draft analysts and other insider and analyst types. And maybe the most famous of them all was something we did called Mock McShay. And that was at a time we put together the fact that McShay would do mock drafts. And it just seemed funny and it kind of took off. And as I bring Todd McShay into this, who has now become one of the most important and valuable people at ESPN, I do think if we were to trace the beginning of your rise to the level of stardom and power that you currently enjoy, Todd McShay, it began with the mockery that you were subjected to on Mike and Mike. Would you say that's true?
I would say that's true, yes.
Yeah, I know you hate...
You created the mock McShay and the McBoard.
The McBoard. Yeah, it was McShay has the McBoard, and away we went, and it was great, and you were great, and here you are now, and it's fabulous. And I will say, and I've said this a million times to Field Yates and to Mel as well, in my preparation for this draft, that first draft podcast you guys do is unbelievable. If you are someone who is interested in the draft, every Tuesday they put out a podcast through ESPN called First Draft, and it's Mel, McShay, and Field Yates, and it's just great. So I've solicited questions for you today, Todd, without the mockery. And I'm going to get to them in a minute. But I do want to ask you about something that came up on the show this morning on Get Up. And that is the consensus among the group that I had on today was that if the Cowboys at 10 could draft a pass rusher, that would be the best thing they need. But that there just isn't one there that is worth taking. That it would be a reach to get any of them there. I would just love to hear your thoughts on that. On the Cowboys needing someone to get after the quarterback, picking at 10, how do you attack that?
I trade back. I mean, if that's where you want to go, you trade back. And maybe it's New England trading up from 15 to go get a quarterback. But I would love to trade back if I'm Dallas. And maybe it's Quiddy Pay from Michigan. Maybe it's, Azeez Ojulari from Georgia. Whichever player they want. But you can't take one at 10. I mean, it only makes sense to take a corner where they're sitting currently. Patrick Surtain would make the most sense coming out of Alabama.
That's pretty much where we arrived, is that Surtain would be the pick there. But if they really wanted to get a pass rusher, if they had the opportunity, they should trade back. Okay, let's see how we do with the tweets. This is from Robert McGraw Jr., who tweets, Todd, do you think the Bears will draft an offensive tackle at 20, or will they try to make an aggressive move for a quarterback?
I think, listen, they want to move up for a quarterback, but it's not going to happen. So I really think that they're going to sit home at 20 and take a tackle or a guard. And at that spot, you're probably looking at Elijah Vera Tucker, which I think would be a home run hit coming out of USC. I think he's a plug-and-play starter right away. If not, then maybe Christian Darrisaw, coming out of Virginia Tech.
Darrisaw is a guy who's a pure left tackle. Yes. Like there are not that many of them.
Yeah.
One thing I've learned in this, that not all these guys who are left tackles coming out of college project to be left tackles in the pros, but he does.
Yeah, like Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State is a classic right tackle. He's the guy you run behind.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Darrisaw is clearly a left tackle.
Greeny and Todd McShay here with your questions. Al Larsko tweets, Caesars William Hill has a bet for 5.5 quarterbacks taken in the first round. McShay, do you take the over or under on 5.5 quarterbacks in the first round?
Under. It's going to be 5. It really is. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence. It's going to be Zach Wilson, 1 and 2. At 3, you know, we've debated this back and forth, but I think it should be Trey Lance to San Francisco, but it's probably going to be Mac Jones. But Justin Fields, Mac Jones, and Trey Lance are going to be the 5. And there's not going to be a 6th quarterback taken in the first round. I'm convinced of that.
No, none of this trading into the very back end to get that 5th year that we've seen.
I like Davis Mills from Stanford. Everyone's talked about Davis Mills moving up, but we're talking about 2nd round. And if you go back and study the history of the draft, it's usually 4 quarterbacks in the 1st, and then 0.7 in the 2nd, 0.7 in the 3rd, and then 3 in the 4th. So history tells us we already have more in the first round than we normally have. So I don't see it happening.
And so a name you didn't even mention is raised by Tyler Farrell, who tweets, with Kyle Trask finishing his college career as a Heisman Trophy finalist, why is he falling so far in the draft and where will he wind up?
I don't think he's falling. He went 7 years, Greeny, in high school and college without playing, without being the starter, you know? Yes, he's talented. Yes, he's an accurate passer. He works really well inside the pocket. He's tough. He's physical. He does everything that you want, but he's not mobile, and his arm strength is average. So I think when you get to Kellen Mond, Davis Mills, and Kyle Trask, those guys are second, third-round picks every year.
Greeny and Todd McShay with you here on ESPN Radio. I like this one from Jesse O'Connor. And I'm going to broaden the question. So Jesse writes, is there any chance the Steelers trade up if Justin Fields starts to fall? And I will broaden the question, McShay, to be, if one of these quarterbacks does start to fall, who do you think is the likeliest? Like if somehow one of these quarterbacks gets past 9, which I don't think any of you expect to happen, but if suddenly we're getting to the 10th pick in the draft and one of these big 5 quarterbacks is still there, who do you have your eye on coming up to get him?
I think, first of all, I think Justin Fields will be the guy that falls. I really do. Just whether you like it or not, just talking to people inside the league, that he's so physically gifted, but he has developing to do. And if one of these 5 quarterbacks start to fall, I think it's going to be Justin Fields from Ohio State. And I think New England at 15, Chicago at 20, Pittsburgh sitting there, you know, later in the 1st at 24 overall. I think all those teams would then be interested. We see it every year, Greeny. We see teams move up and make significant moves to go get quarterbacks. But I think Justin Fields will be the guy that a team trades up to go get.
Greeny and Todd McShay. I like this one from Scott Schutica, who tweets,
you
I want
a lot
know-
of questions, huh?
McShay, you're a hit. I mean, I told the audience, I want them to have this interview. Like, here's what happened. I've asked this question so many times that I'd like to hear what the audience wants to hear. Like, I want to know what the people are interested in. As we're not 4 months away anymore. It's 9 days, so we can talk about more than just the 5 big quarterbacks. Scott Schutica asks, I want to know where McShay thinks Micah Parsons is going to wind up in the NFL draft.
I think he can go early. I think Kuiper had him going 9 to Denver, which actually makes sense if they don't go quarterback. But that's one of the most curious spots in this entire first round. But after that, I mean, there are so many teams. I think the Giants would be a good fit as well. I think Philadelphia would be a good fit. So he's going to go somewhere in that 9 to 13 range. But I have him currently, Micah Parsons, as the number one defensive player in this draft. I've got quarterbacks and receivers and tight ends, you know, in terms of the top 8 players in this class. But Micah Parsons, to me, I've stood next to him. I've told you this. His arms are, they drop below his knees. He's so long. He, he can cover, he can go sideline to sideline versus the run. And what I love about him, and I think is the most underrated aspect of his game, Micah Parsons can get after the quarterback. He can get home. And there's not many off-the-ball linebackers that can do what he can do.
And then let me leave it with my own questions for you here, and that is enormous pride for me. I'm wearing a purple jacket today. I will have something on that is purple for the draft. I'm not wearing that on my sleeve, literally or figuratively, but I'll wear something, maybe some purple socks or something like that, because Northwestern has not had a first-round pick in the NFL draft since 2005. I think we are guaranteed one and maybe even two. What is your expectation for Rashawn Slater and Greg Newsome?
Yeah, Rashawn Slater should go somewhere in the top 15 picks. I mean, there are several teams that need an offensive tackle. I don't see him getting outside of the top 15. I honestly, when I study him in Penei Sewell, I don't think there's a big difference in terms of talent. There's a difference in terms of like the type of player. Slater's bigger. He's 330 pounds. He's a finisher. He's physical. He's tough. But I think that Slater is more athletic, and I think he's your classic left tackle. So I could easily see him going somewhere in the top 10, and maybe, you know, worst case, he's going 13, 14 overall.
And Newsome?
And Newsome's going to be later in the first round. So they're going to have two first-round picks.
So he will go round one. I've seen some mocks that have him at the top of the second. You think he does go round one?
I do. I honestly do. I think that he's going to be the fourth cornerback to come off the board.
Go you, Northwestern.
We got Surtain from Alabama, mm-hmm. obviously. You got J.C. Horn from South Carolina. You've got Caleb Farley coming off the back injury, who could have been the first cornerback taken, but because of the back surgery, he's probably going to be the third. And then after that, I think you got Newsome the second coming off the board as the fourth corner, probably somewhere 22 to 28.
I think one of you guys gave him to the Jets, if I'm not mistaken, right? At 23, I've seen so many mock drafts now. I think it was either you or Mel.
I've got Kuypers in front of me because we just did this show the other day. But, yeah, he had the Jets taking Newsome at 23 overall.
Well, that would be like my worlds colliding in the best possible way. McShay, you've been a great help to me. I'll give everyone a little insight. I send him notes all the time. I'm texting McShay constantly. How about this player? Why isn't this guy mentioned here? You know, I'm trying so hard to do all this stuff, and it is so endlessly fascinating to me. So, McShay, thank you as always.
Well, on the back end, I'm always texting Hembo. I need more stats. I need more numbers.
That's true, too.
It's gone both ways.
All good, buddy.
Thanks, McShay.
You got it, buddy.
See you later. That's Todd McShay. I do recommend, if you are interested in the draft, I guess they'll have two more episodes. No, I guess next week will be the last one. Today, two episodes. The first draft podcast, they post it every Tuesday, sometime in the afternoon. And I listen to it on the elliptical on Wednesdays. And it's great. Just great. And it's just the three of them. And they just kibitz. They just sit there and they talk through this stuff. And they will give you great insight into the NFL draft. So if you're interested, that's good stuff. Okay, let's finish it with some fun today. I brought this up earlier. Let's figure out, Bubba, get in here. Let's figure out what sport I could play in and we would still win. So here's the setup. I was flipping through the channels and I saw the old movie Heaven Can Wait. Now, again, that's an old movie. I loved it. It's with Warren Beatty. And a very brief synopsis for those who've never seen it is that Warren Beatty plays an NFL quarterback who gets killed. He comes back as a billionaire, buys the Los Angeles Rams, and makes himself the quarterback. It's a lot more complicated than that, but in its simplest form, it's that. And I started thinking to myself, are the Dodgers so good that if I bought them and mandated that I had to play every day, you could put me wherever you want, bat me wherever you want in the order, but I have to be on the field every day. Could we still win the division? That's the question. So Hembo broke it down. You think I play left field?
You're going to play, like the left field line.
I believe you keep saying the line. I don't know why that's significant. You can put the other two outfielders anywhere you want.
Right.
I'm going to make a couple plays in left. I'm here to tell you that right now. At minimum, if they hit a ground ball that goes through the infield, I'll be able to scoop it up and throw it to the second baseman.
Yeah, it's still a double, though.
That's a single.
It will be a double for you.
No, I don't know that it will be a double.
You told me you're playing at the base of the warning track.
But these guys, they don't even run to first base. Are you kidding? I might throw someone out at first the way these guys busted out of the box.
No, you're not having any assists.
Okay, I may have an assist. But anyway, the point of it is, so you then brought up a couple of possibilities. Bubba, or actually I think it was Devin who brought up a different one. Go ahead and throw that possibility out here.
How about in 2000?
Let's be clear, it's Vin, first of all.
Okay, that's right. For today, he's only Vin. He's lost the hashtag, the D, and the E.
Thanks,
but go ahead, Vin. Give us the scenario.
2000 U.S. Open. Tiger Woods wins by 15 shots.
Mm-hmm.
If you teed off for him on every hole, where does he finish? Does he still win that tournament?
Hell no. No, hell no. Not in the U.S. Open. That was at Pebble. No, hell no. We'd have a better chance, as crazy as this may sound, if I putted for him. We'd have a much better chance because the way they're going to set that course up, there'll be holes we never play. Like I'll be OB or we're hitting a provisional. Like I could on the. Here's what would happen: hitting the ball off the tee, I could cost you an unlimited number of shots per hole. Whereas on the greens, I probably would only cost you one per hole. Like let's say I could reasonably three putt everything. I'd have a fighting chance of three-putting everything.
No, I've played with you. You can putt a little bit better than
that.
No,
but not U.S. Open greens at Pebble Beach with pressure. But I'd have a fighting chance of three-putting all of the holes, which is 18. That probably wouldn't be 50. Well, he probably didn't three-putt over the course. Oh, no, it's not just 18 putts. I'd have to do it the entire event. No.
72 holes.
Have no chance. I would cost him 72 shots. He won by 15. He would lose by 57.
He wouldn't have made the cut at the end.
Okay. You then brought up another possibility. Hembo did.
So earlier in the week, we asked each other the best teams we ever saw.
Right.
Devin, Vin, better known as, said the 2017 Warriors, 67-15 Warriors, they lost only one playoff game. And I posed to you, Greeny. Let's say you own these 2017 Warriors and you mandate I play all 48 minutes every single game. But you are alongside Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, and Draymond Green. This is a bomb squad.
Yeah.
Would that team have won one game?
In the finals, you mean?
No, among 82 regular season games.
We would have housed people. We would destroy people. What are you talking about? I got those guys out there?
Those guys have you out there.
Oh, no. I think we'd win a lot of games. I think we'd have been a force to be reckoned with. I got KD.
Mm-hmm.
I got Steph. I got Klay. And I got Draymond.
All four.
Well, let me put it this way. Would they be better off playing A, with me as their fifth, or B, playing 4-on-5?
Well, you just asked the same question twice.
No, not necessarily. I might actually get in the way. I might actually detract from what they're doing.
Are you more concerned about offense or defense for this team with you on the floor?
Much more concerned about defense.
So they're playing like a 2-2 zone and you're like a rover? Are you chasing the ball?
Yeah, we're playing a triangle one.
Are you the rim protector?
I'm protecting the rim. That's exactly right. No, I think basketball is a bad choice.
You're going 0-82.
I think the best.
No, not
0-82.
You're the one who just gave him the NL West in baseball.
I did the math.
Yeah, with those four border, basically Hall of Famers, they're going to lose 82 games? What are you talking about?
He's 20% of the floor the entire time, the entire game, the entire season.
I mean, I understand that. I'm not ready to crown them champions, but they're not going to lose 82 games with those four superstars.
I think my best shot at winning is with the 85 Bears. I think if you put me on the field as like a deep safety, I would just be on the field in a uniform.
Just roaming around.
And you just took one of the players, I don't know, I mean, like on an individual play, like let's play Gary Fensick isn't playing, or on the, you know, whoever it might be, you take one guy off the field and you put the rest of them out there with all those Hall of Famers, and you had Dent and McMichael and Dan Hampton and Mike Singletary and Wilbur Marshall and all, I mean, I'm forgetting a ton of really good players, Fensick and Dorsen and all those guys.
Just hope that the corners don't miss their coverage. Then just play you one-on-one with the receiver.
But they never even got the ball out. Like, the quarterback got sacked on every play. Every play, quarterback got sacked.
I think you fit in better there than you would on the Warriors because you're 1 of 11 on this legendary defense rather than 1 of 5. That makes a huge difference.
I think we'd have won the Super Bowl.
No,
that's how good the 85 Bears were.
Ridiculous.
The 85 Bears could have won won the Super Bowl. Let's put it this way. The 85 Bears could have won the Super Bowl if I played offense. If you insisted that I play offense, I could have just stood out. You know, I've been a wide receiver, been like outside the hashes.
Maybe I'll give you that.
I think they would have won. I think they could have won the Super Bowl with me playing offense.
By the way, today on the Max Kellerman Show at 2:10 Eastern, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts just so happens to be a guest. So we're going to ask him straight up. We're going to ask him this. We're going to play the cut for him, and we're going to see what he says.
Okay.
We're going to get the answer from
Skipper
Dave Roberts himself.
My manager.
So
I love
it. The timing could not have been perfect.
All right. I look forward to that. Again, that's with Max coming up. I got to do something here for our friends at 1-800-Flowers.com because this Mother's Day, you need to lock in your place as the golden child. You need to do it soon by ordering Mom's Bouquet early from 1-800-Flowers.com because right now they have a special offer at 1-800-Flowers. You can get 36 sorbet roses for just $36. And these are not your average roses either. They sent over a bouquet to the house. They're absolutely gorgeous. They're pastel shades, mixed pink, orange, lavender, guaranteed to show all of the moms in your life just how much they are loved. 36 sorbet roses for $36 is an amazing offer, but prices are going to go up soon. So do this now. Order today from the official florist of Mother's Day, 1-800-Flowers.com. But to order 36 sorbet roses for $36, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click on the radio icon, and enter the code Greeny. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. Enter the code Greeny. Hurry, because the offer expires on Friday. You will be very glad that you did. This was a fun day. I'm glad you were here. See you tomorrow. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can check out Greeny live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Also, don't miss Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 Eastern on ESPN. This is Greeny, the podcast.